Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from the Bright Red Desk on September 3rd, 2017. Hopefully, this week we won't have any Mercury retrograde problems like we had last week when the show kind of froze in the upload. I'm not quite sure what happened, but they did figure it out. And thank heavens, this week we have Mercury stationing to go direct, so we're going to get out of this crazy Mercury retrograde. It's been kind of a tough one happening as it has during all this other stuff flying around in the sky. So what we do here on the Mercury retrograde, or on the weekly weather, is we talk about the week ahead and how to work with it, how to work with the energy in the heavens above us, and how to work with the energy on Earth as it's showing up, and kind of what to do with it. So this week, we're going to talk a little bit about the events in Houston and how they show up, and then kind of go into the weather and where we are. Of course, it's Labor Day, which is a holiday tomorrow. We're off, or most of us are off, where we're celebrating the workers. And it was based on a pretty bloody episode in American history that Labor Day was formed or started to offer the working people a day off and to celebrate workers. So for all of us who work hard in our lives, and we all do work hard in our lives on what our passions are, this is a celebration of your work. So what we're going to do today is a little bit on the chart of Houston. Houston, interestingly, was founded on August 28, 1836, August 28, 1836, at the Blue Bayou, which I'm going to guess is a landing somewhere in Houston, now called Allen's Landing, or vice versa. And so if we look at that chart, of course, we go August 28th. Hey, that was just last week. And, of course, it was having a birthday. Houston was having a birthday. And we had a lot of – we progressed the chart and look forward to see what's going on. And, obviously, we saw the flooding and we saw the events of it. But remember what the heavens also want to do or like to do with us is to show us the other side of the story. So the week before, we'd had the Tiki Torch guys protesting and people kind of going, oh, my God. And then we see Houston where people actually work together, pull together, regardless of race, creed, color, and just said, hey, there's an emergency. Let's be our best humanitarian selves. Let's work to save each other, to help each other. And so even though it was an enormous natural disaster, they're saying a 1-in-1,000-year storm, and many people lost virtually everything. Some people lost their lives. We also recognized enormous moments of heroism and moments where people really stepped forward and said, okay, let me work with this. Let me work with this energy. Let me step into this energy. Let me do something. So the chart for Houston is, of course, Sun opposite Uranus in Pisces, natally. So that's an interesting placement. Right now, of course, the Sun or Neptune is in Pisces. And for the days of the storm, what we were watching was that lovely Neptune aspect that we had in the sky that's just now completing. We're not quite finished with it yet because the Sun has to get past 12 to get past the Neptune, at which point the water recedes and we go down. But also the progressed Sun right now in Houston's chart is at 7 Pisces, opposite the natal chart's Sun at 5 Virgo, because the city's that old. In progressions, the Sun was having, the chart was having the progressed Moon at 6 Scorpio, which of course is water and swamps on the south node, kind of indicating an energy. And then there was a grand trine in water. Now, we often think of grand trines as being good, and they are, but they also can be excess. So Houston's chart has Mars out of bounds in Cancer, right? Mars out of bounds in water, the sign of water, fresh water, lake water. This was rain water that came down, hurricane water. Wasn't saltwater flooding. It was water coming from the skies. So the Mars out of bounds trines the Sun in Pisces. The progressed Uranus is also at 4 Pisces, being activated. And then the progressed Moon is at 6 Scorpio. So right there, we just see a grand triangle in water, an enormous amount of watery energy kind of flowing through the city and flowing through the world. Pluto is, of course, an important planet when we're looking at things causing huge destruction. We often see Pluto active, and of course he was. The Pluto for Houston is 15 Aries, so it was receiving the square from transiting Pluto, or the opposition rather. the opposing Pluto is at 17 Libra, and then they're both receiving the square from Pluto at 17. So we're having a huge Pluto T-square formed from natal Pluto, solar arc Pluto, transiting Pluto, which whenever we have big Pluto, we usually see major renovations, destructions, transformations. And then, of course, the node of fate was on the birth of the chart, the sun of the birth of the chart, because we had the eclipse take off on it and activate it. So we're basically now seeing the whole city renovate. Well, it will be renovated over the next few years as it gets a rebirth energy. And often after we have a big Pluto transit, we have that phoenix energy where the city's destroyed, brought down to ash, and then it revives again like the phoenix being reborn. And, of course, we have that huge grand trine in fire with the north node in it. And Texas has an interesting chart, too. And Texas, of course, is a Capricorn Taurus city, Taurus state. They think of themselves as their own country down there. They don't say they're from the United States. They say they're from Texas. And, you know, I'm from New York, but I don't say I'm from New York. My friend Lila said this in class the other day. She says, I'm from Maryland. I don't say I'm from Maryland. But he was from Texas, and he said he's a Texan. So we understand that the energy of this state is very unusual relative to, and of course, the energy of Houston as a city of transportation and a city on a river, as a trade city, a place where trading took place. And of course, we see that through the energy of the chart having an out-of-bounds Mars, a major port, and Mars in Cancer, a major port that connects fresh water to salt water, the Gulf of Mexico. So a huge city and beautiful city. I mean, Houston was one of my favorite cities, and I loved Austin, too, And so prayers to those folks down there who are going through a major renaissance and a major renovation. And, of course, 12 years after Katrina, same weekend. And then also this was the city's birthday, August 28th, 1836. So the chart is very strong and very active. And it's having a nodal reversal that's also being activated. That's part of the story. Nodal reversals bring in things and bring in things that you need to learn about, and they release things that you don't need to learn about. So there's a huge energy of releasing of things that Houston no longer needs as a bringing in of what Houston needs next or what its new journey is. So when we're looking at a disaster like this, we also look at what it teaches us. Because as we are all witnesses, I mean, we didn't go through it, but we were witnesses to the folks who did. And it brought up for me how kind people are, the compassion, the caring. And I couldn't watch it on my phone or my computer without crying. And, it, you know, just in that space of holding emotion. My cousin and her sons live down there. Unfortunately, they were okay. They're outside of Houston in Plantation, Texas, and were okay. But it still is a major, major transformation and a new rebirth. So whenever we go through a Pluto transit or a country or a city goes through one, we see it as a new energy. Now, of course, Texas, having its Pluto transit a little before the United States is going to have ours, it makes you go, what is going to happen when we have our Pluto return? And our big Pluto transit that we're coming up on. So it's also an opportunity for all of us to think about how we would act, what we would do, what is our role in the world, and how would we work. Now, Houston, with its out-of-bounds Mars and its founding, you know, has out-of-bounds energy. It also has a very, very out-of-bounds Eris at 24 degrees Aquarius, which is, of course, where the nodes of fate are, the south node of fate. And so Eris takes away things very often in our lives. And she's way out of bounds. She's at 52-14 declination, which is really out there. So watching that destruction and appreciating what just how devastating and how powerful Mother earth energy is, and also recognizing once in a thousand years, that's a pretty rare thing to have witnessed, and to be honoring and praying for and helping the people in Texas. Having lived here in New York, just receiving today an email from one of my friends whose son-in-law has a movie opening on the man in the red bandana who helped thousands of people, or helped people out of the World Trade Center. Having lived through that here in New York, I enormous heart-opening space for our friends in Texas and relatives in Texas. So, forward to the weather. Another big week, folks. I know, you're kind of like, really, can she just stop with these big weeks? I'd like to. It's only a two-page week, though. That's the good news. And the good news also is we're having Mars stimulate Mercury, and we're having Mercury stationing on the world axis. And we also had, you know, what's his name in Korea, pop a nuclear weapon. And, of course, Donald's Mars is on Korea, so we want to say to Donald, you know, hold off, big guy. Let's just kind of watch and see what's going on. We don't need to go doing wild and crazy things. Mars this week hits the eclipse point. It hits the, which is today, which is the nuclear weapon being deployed. And then it hits Mercury, which is now in Leo. And then Mercury stations on the eclipse point. So there's a lot of activity between now and Wednesday. When on Wednesday, then we have a full moon in Pisces, right on Neptune, big full moon. And then we go forward into the rest of the week. Now, Mercury is stationing to turn direct, but he has stopped on the eclipse. So you are going to still be getting information. I have the number of people that are finding out stuff or learning things that they didn't know. My sister just the other day was, really? That's what happened? And I was like, yes, but don't talk about it. You know, I didn't know that. Understand the information you're getting now is to help you make sense of things that didn't make sense before. That's what it's for. And the other part of it is to help you make decisions about where you want to go. So I was talking earlier today to someone who's making decisions about what to do with her life vis-a-vis people, two men in her life, and what's her purpose, what's her path, where is she going, what does she want. The stuff that you're getting presented this week, next week, as Mercury leaves its shadow, and then as Venus comes to hit the eclipse point in the teens, we're getting the information we need to know how to live our lives. And so you really want to just pay attention to it. It's not about how other people will judge you. It's not about what other people will think. You're at a critical crossroads in your life. Everybody's at a critical crossroads in their lives. The eclipse woke up something. It helped you see something. In our country, it helped us see some dark stuff, and it helped us see some good stuff. In our own worlds, it helped us see some dark stuff, and it helped us see some good stuff. This week, really big. Mars gets out of Leo, where he's all about truth and honor and forward, and he goes into Virgo, where he's all about process, following the instructions, making the list, having the pick, the 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, this is how we're going to do it. Mercury stopping and pivoting on that eclipse point that Mars aspected, the moon aspected, the sun aspected, the node aspected, Saturn aspected, and Uranus aspected, and Saturn's going to hit again in a couple of months. So active decision-making time for all of us. Think of how many people you know making major decisions in their lives. That's what this is for. That's what it's about, and our job is to really stay as open and as present and as least judgmental as possible to try and understand what the heavens are asking us to do as they dance repeatedly over this point of 28 Leo. Where are you to take a leadership role in your life? Where are you to proceed with the heart path? And as we sit on this Labor Day weekend, as summer wraps to a close and the lifeguards go home and we turn towards school and fall and the leaves changing and the end of the season of growth, we have to make some choices. So let's talk about this week and what choices you're going to be making. So if we look at the moon right now is in Aquarius. It's in Aquarius tomorrow, too, the 4th. And it goes void at 1:15 in the morning on the 5th with an opposition to Mars. Sunday, Monday, separating aspects, leaving things behind emotionally. Moon goes into Pisces, 1:28. These are all Eastern times. Moon goes into Pisces, 1:28 in the morning on Tuesday the 5th. Then there's a full moon at 3:03 in the morning on the 6th. We'll talk about that in a second. And then the moon goes void at 4:29 in the afternoon with a square to Saturn on the 5th and the 6th. Again, a separating hard energy, only more emotional. And the water comes back and the fluid comes back and the flood comes back. Emotionally, the 5th and the 6th are when we process all that we have left behind. Then the moon is void Wednesday night, and it goes into Aries bright and early Thursday morning at 8:01 a.m. And then it's in Aries Thursday, Friday, and it goes void at 11:52 a.m. on the 9th with a trine to Mercury. So think of it, moon trining Mercury. Mercury, of course, is in Leo, right? Moving forward, getting ready to move forward, not quite yet into Virgo, goes into Virgo later that day. But again, another emotional processing day on the 9th. Then the moon goes void at 11:52 on Saturday morning, and then it goes into Taurus at 12:23 p.m. Saturday afternoon, and it's in Taurus on Sunday the 10th, going void at 8:54 p.m. with a square to Venus. Again, a departing energy. So really, the only days this week, and again, think release. You know, you don't have to think of it as bad, but your energy is going to be wanting to let things go. And then the evening of Sunday the 10th, it's void all Sunday night the 10th, and then it goes void on Monday the 11th, and it goes into Gemini at 3:29 p.m. on the 11th, and that one has a good closing aspect, but that's Monday afternoon, the 11th. So hard aspects all week about recognizing, seeing things, letting things go. Aquarius is detaching. Pisces, that's on Monday, Tuesday. Pisces moon is detaching, or today, Tuesday, today and Monday, detaching, letting go the 5th and the 6th. The Aries moon is a forward motion Friday, Saturday, but then back to letting go Saturday, Sunday, right? So it's understanding we've got this really interesting energy swirling around us. The full moon that takes place on Wednesday, the 6th, takes place at 3 in the morning, and it's got a 29-degree Cancer rising, which, of course, is an anaretic degree, points us to the moon, and the moon is opposite. It's in the 8th house in Pisces, opposite the sun in Virgo. And literally that day, Mercury is still stopped. He's still stopped at 28. Mars is right next to him at 0. Mars has gone into Virgo. We'll give you the dates on that in a second. But so there's a very strong energy of betwixt and between. The Grand Trine in Fire is still really potent. It's still up there. It's still working. But Eris, the goddess of discord, is entering into the story. And also on that day, Moon and Neptune are joined. Okay, so there's a lot of sadness, a lot of sorrow, a lot of emotional processing on the Wednesday. Okay, so honor it and just be conscious that we're really working on very, very deep levels. Jupiter's on the world axis, meaning the information we get will be very public and very important for us to pay attention to on this full moon. It also takes us back to the new moon in Pisces that took place in February, March of 2016, and the full moon that we had in December, the opening square moon we had in December in Sag at 13 Sag, that would have taken place around the 8th of December last year. All right, so on to the week aspects. It's a busy week, folks, and you're going to feel very much like stuff's departing, because that's what's supposed to happen. Departing for a new beginning, the new beginning happening when the moon is in Aries, just those 2 days. And, of course, moon in Aries is a pretty feisty moon, so people are going to be maybe mad or maybe like, yeah, I got to do this. And with Mars changing into Virgo on the 5th at 5:30 in the morning, you're going to really feel a shift in the energy as he leaves Leo and he enters Virgo. Mars is going to be in Virgo. He goes into Virgo again, as I said, on the 5th at 7:30 in the morning. At 5:30 in the morning, and he's in Virgo until October 14th, when he shifts and goes into Libra. So when we have that, we are, I'm sorry, he's in it till, it's Mercury retrograde kind of day. He's in it until the 22nd of October, when Mars goes into Libra. So this next Virgo moon, Virgo Mars, is a busy, busy, hard-working Mars. Very good for any kind of projects you want to undertake, anything you want to do. And you're going to really feel the energy shift and a very strong need to buckle down, knuckle down. And then right after that, that moon goes into Aries on Thursday and Friday, making really good use of that Virgo moon. So you want to, you're going to find yourself making lists of all the things you have to do this week. Because the first couple days are going to be a little frustrated or a little sad, and then it's going to be like, okay, full steam ahead. So this week, the sun is running from 11 Virgo to 18 Virgo. So anything you have in those degrees gets activated. And then, of course, its big aspect is on the 5th, the opposition to Neptune. And that is, of course, the full moon, right? So the full moon is involving Neptune, which is a very deep, very profound emotional moon. Takes us back to December last year when we had the opening quarter, and then takes us back to March, end of February, beginning of March, time frame of 16. Sun also has a sesquiquadrate to Uranus, which is kind of a breaking free energy of old patterns and wanting to leave things behind and not carry them forward. Also a good time to look at the stuff that's worn out or that you don't need anymore or that's just kind of a little shop-worn and replace. Sun is trine to Pallas Athena, seeing new patterns on the 6th, and she is taken aback a little bit by the stuff that Venus points out on the 8th. Venus is going to say some stuff to the sun, and remember, the sun in Virgo is a little sensitive to criticism, and right now Mercury's in Leo, so we're really a little huffy-puffy until Mercury re-enters Virgo on the 9th, and then we're going to be sensitive to criticism. So the sun's really, you know, really kind of feeling it when people are saying anything critical. Sun has a trine to Pluto on the 9th, which gives us a new power dynamic and a push forward to the story that's going to shift for all of us at the end of September when Pluto goes direct. And then he has a biquintile to Eris on the 10th, which is also a little bit of an energy of kind of being like, you know, that kind of whiny, mean energy a little bit on the 10th. So just be aware that everybody's a little bit on edge. And, of course, the energy of the eclipse starts to abate now as we go towards that full moon. It releases, and we finish eclipse season on Wednesday when that full moon happens, but is usually a little kapowy, and that's going to happen on the 5th. Mercury, of course, is moving slowly because it's stopped. It's at 28 Leo right now, and it joins up with Mars on the, you know, Mars on the 3rd and the 4th. It also joins up with Uranus for a breakthrough and an explosion on the 4th. And then it stations direct on the 5th at 28:25, right Leo, right there on that eclipse degree again. And then it goes back into Virgo on the 9th, and then it gets sensitive to criticism. But right now in Leo, it's a little bit proud, and it's not really interested in being criticized. So I was talking to someone, and they were like, well, they're going to judge me. I'm like, it's okay. Don't listen to them. It's your life. You know, the other people's judgments of your life and your choices, it's none of their business. You're the one living your life. And, of course, we're all going to be a little sensitive to being judged, and that's part of our energy. We also have Mercury paralleling Mars, right, which is fighting words on the 10th, or a little feisty energy. And I do want a little shout-out here with Mercury stationing direct on Leo. We lost Louise Hay last week. She passed away, I guess, at age 91. One of the founders of transformative thinking through understanding how our thoughts, Mercury, affect our reality. And I know one of the most pivotal books in my life was You Can Heal Your Life, and I still reference people to it all the time. And I use it probably once every 2 weeks. Somebody comes for a reading, and they're talking about being pissed off and having a bladder infection, and I'm like, so who are you mad at? And invariably a name pops out, and I'm like, well, you need to work on that. it's very interesting. Her work was seminal and incredibly informative, and I ran into her in the 80s when I had a number of friends dying from AIDS, and she offered enormous comforts to their soul. So I will forever be grateful to her. I don't know her personally, but, you know, the number of people that she comforted and helped as they were dying, abandoned by their families, the woman has a special place in heaven. So rest well, Louise, and I know there's a star out there that has just brightened the universe because you've moved on to a new plane. But, yeah, I can't tell you the number of people she helped in the AIDS epidemic when people just were so horrible. Kids, my friend Mitchell, coming out, coming home with AIDS to your parents, that's how they found out you were gay, and then they just would kick them out. It's amazing how much the world has changed since the 80s, but it also was, she was the voice of compassion and caring and kindness. You know, this kindness goes so far. So Venus this week goes from 10 Leo to 19 Leo. She's clipping along at a pretty good pace. She's got some hopes and dreams that she wants to help you make happen at the beginning of the week on the 3rd and the 4th. But she's going to do with a little bit of a twist. It's going to be more like, well, I don't really want that hope and dream, because she's got a hard aspect to some planets, Chiron and Admetus and Neptune. So a lot of times, and that's on the 5th and the 6th, and then she squares Pallas Athena, so she sees the pattern and she goes, ooh. And then she has an in conjunct to Pluto and Neptune, ooh. So she's kind of in a forming a finger of God, a fast-moving finger of God, but a finger of God nonetheless. And when Venus is the apex of a finger of God, we all pay attention because she's what we want. And as she rolls through the Neptune-Pluto, forming that and having those hard aspects with the other planets, a lot of times what she does is she makes us go, well, I don't want that. And so that's great. You've defined what you don't want. Now immediately say to Venus, but you know what I would like instead? And get that in there, so that she knows what she's working with and she can help you, because she's in a highly creative mood. She's in Leo. She's going to be coming to the eclipse degree in a couple of weeks. So she's going to bring to the eclipse degree, well, you know, they said they didn't want this, but you know what they would like? They'd like this instead, right? And just kind of look at that bounce as she bounces through this week, kind of going, not that, but then what then? What yes? What yes? So as she does that work. And then we have her forming an aspect with Juno, kind of dissolving some partnerships that have been in place on the 10th and the 11th. Mars this week is in Leo and Virgo, goes from 29 Leo, goes into Virgo bright and early on the 5th, the morning of the 5th at 5:30, and is very active in Virgo. Mars likes being in Virgo because he likes having a list of things he can check off and do, and he's going to run all the way to 3:33. So he's setting off those last degrees of Leo, and then he's into Virgo, making a list and checking it twice. He's Santa Claus this week. And as he moves out of and away from Leo, he gets really, really busy. And so we're going to find ourselves the pace picking up, a little bit of a power drama or power struggle at work or with money or your boss on the 8th, because it's going from the 6th to the 10th. And that, of course, can be stuff with a Cheeto man down there in Washington. It also is Mars trine Juno on the 10th, so it's about new partnerships or new dynamics coming in and inviting you in a new direction. Jupiter's pokey. He's at 22, 23 this week in Libra, but he's on the world axis, so he's asking us to partner publicly. And he's parallel to Athena, offering us a new vision of things. He's square to Ceres, asking us about how we want to change how we nurture ourselves on the 4th. And then he's also saying he doesn't want to be subservient. He wants to do it his way. And then he's having a little bit of a fight on the 9th. A lot of opportunity to break up with people on September 9th, or end relationships or end friendships, a lot of departures. Uranus is contraparallel Juno on the 6th, again, a big marriage, divorce, breakup. Again, this is a big week for breakups. You're going to hear a lot of dumping, breaking, not interested, we're going to split up now. Neptune is parallel Pallas Athena because they don't match my dreams. It's not my dream. It's not what I really want. And Vesta, of course, says you can't go home again, even though she wants to try on the 6th. But you're going to realize you just don't fit anymore. That's not your place. There's a new place coming that will be invited, and your job is to help create it. and that will be on the 8th. So the 8th is a big moving month. A lot of people are saying, you know, when I get to September 8th, it's a big deal, September 8th. So just kind of watch this week. Watch for the new information. Watch the eclipses leave. Get your to-do list ready. You're going to have a really busy fall through October 22nd when Mars is in Virgo. And off we go. That's the end of the weather. That's the end of the weekly weather. I'm going to hang up and go cook my edamame. I got some edamame in my CSA this week. It's very interesting. I'd never seen a real soybean plant, but I got some, and I was like, wow, they're kind of interesting looking. So off we go. Wish you a great week, and watch out for the news flash. Whatever it is really important for you to pay attention to what news comes in today, tomorrow, through Wednesday, through the full moon. It might make you emotional. Probably will make you emotional. Might even make you cry. But you're supposed to hear it, and then you're supposed to use it to make the decisions you need to make in your life to pursue your heart's path. And on that, I'm going to sign off. Goodbye.